B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Flyers tonight against the Montreal Canadiens, round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, 8 o'clock puck drop. And to talk about the game tonight, the series, the playoffs, the return to play, he's a veteran of 973 NHL games, 124 playoff games, including 68 for the Philadelphia Flyers, and he scored 72 points in those 68 games. Former Flyer Danny Briere joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Danny, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jason.
Man, what a day, right? It's all going to start today. I know that you probably loved game, you know, the first day of a playoff journey. What's this day like as a guy who played in, you know, over 100 playoff games for a player like you?
Well, I mean, it's the best day. It started yesterday. I'll be honest with you. I sat around for about 6.5 hours watching that game between Tampa and Columbus yesterday. So that was awesome. But today is the Flyers. Flyers Day. I'm even more excited about that. As a player, the first day of the playoffs, like when you play your first game, the whole day, it's tough to contain yourself. And that's one of the things that I got better at. When you hear about experience and the players that have experience and it comes into play in the playoffs, a big thing is being able to control your energy throughout the day, because it's really easy to come at night and be completely gassed just from the anxiety of your first playoff game. And that's what I got better at as I got older and I got more experience, because there's nothing like it. And it's exciting. The guys are fired up. They want to do well. They can't wait to jump on the ice. But you have to be able to control yourself all day long.
You don't want to play the game before the game, because then you get on the ice and you got dead legs and you're going, why do I have no energy now?
You're exactly right. And it's happened to me early in my career. It's happened to me at world championships. And then I realized that during the day I had to do some boring things. So I had to grab a book and start reading and get my mind off of the game, because like you said, I would play the game before the game started.
Danny, what would it be like for a team that was in the situation that the Bruins and the Canadiens were in last night? They had their first game. It was a night game. They're waiting all day for it. And then it gets pushed to the next morning because, as you alluded to, that Lightning game against the Columbus Blue Jackets went 6.5 hours. How's that for a player to deal with? Wow.
Well, I'm sure it's not ideal. I'm sure the players were not too happy about that. But at the same time, I mean, we're in a different world now. Things change. You have to be able to adapt. I mean, we talk about how things are changing on a daily basis with this pandemic. And it's kind of what the players are dealing with at this time. You have to be able to adjust, and the players that will adjust the best will have a better chance at success. It's really easy to sit there and pout and complain, but at the end of the day, you can't control that. It's out of your control. You have to find a way to get ready. And I'm sure playing at 11 this morning wasn't ideal, and the players didn't like it, but it's the players that will adapt the fastest, the quickest, that will have the most success.
Yeah, the thing I always say in coaching young kids is control the controllable. That's all you can do. No sense getting caught up what you can't control. Danny, how would it have been for you dealing with the round robin games? Because the Flyers were in a position where they couldn't move down as the 4 seed, but could only move up. And a team like Boston, obviously, who was the best regular season team, could only move down. They had everything to lose and nothing to gain, and they ended up losing it. But how would you approach those games, and what would your intensity level have been like as a player for those games?
It's tough to reproduce. The players are not stupid. It's tough to reproduce the intensity of a playoff game. So you have to understand, and I think that's where Alain Vigneault was really good at. He never came out and said, we have to win those games. We're going to treat these games as play. He's smart enough. He's seen enough over his coaching career that he knew the intensity would not quite be the same. They came in with the attitude of, you know what, we have nothing to lose. We're the 4th seed coming in, so whatever we get is going to be gravy. And then you saw the Flyers play so well that they earned the first spot. So it was a huge advantage. I thought it was done really well by Alain Vigneault. Now, the part that scares me a little bit more is all those teams that had the byes in the first round are playing teams that have played 3 to 5 competitive playoff intensity games, and that's tough to match up. We saw it with, it was Dallas last night, had a little bit of a problem adjusting early on to that. Columbus, I thought, played a very strong game, and then Tampa was able to match it, but it's tough to turn that switch on quickly, and that's what the Flyers have to guard against tonight versus Montreal.
And Montreal comes in having beaten the Penguins in four. But what was it about that series with Montreal that impressed you, other than the obvious of Carey Price? They went out and earned it, full value. They outskated the Penguins. I thought it was more of an indictment on the Pens, though, looking like a team that seemed a little disinterested and had no urgency. But Montreal, what impressed you about that round with them?
Well, we can't take Montreal lightly. They're a quick, fast team that takes time and space away from your players. And especially a team like Pittsburgh, who rely on creating time and space for guys like Crosby and Malkin, Montreal completely took that away. You're right when you mentioned, Carey Price. I was very impressed with Petrie and Weber on defense. They did really well. But the focus was on stopping Crosby and Malkin. That's why it becomes so tough for Montreal. The Flyers, they don't really have just one line that you can focus on. We saw it in those last few games. The second and third line were the most damaging to the opposition. So the Flyers have depth that Pittsburgh did have. They also have depth on defense, and they have a much better goalie. I'm not saying Carter Hart is quite at the level of Carey Price yet, but he's much better than what the Penguins have. And that's why it gives me so much confidence that the Flyers will be able to win this round. Like I said, it's not going to be easy. I think it's going to be a tough round, very frustrating, because Montreal has a lot of speed and they'll take a lot of time and space away from the players.
Danny Briere joining us on the Comcast Business Highline. Danny, you've played against Carey Price for a number of years. You were his teammate. You know the work ethic that he brings to practices, the way he prepares for games, both physically and mentally. And his reputation is well-earned as an elite goalie and perhaps the best goalie of his generation. Can that get into an offensive player's mind a little bit, thinking that, well, he's so good and, he gives you things, but he's always going to take it away, that you want to be more precise in your shooting or try that extra pass because he's the guy that's in net and maybe force you either to shoot wide or try that extra pass that doesn't work?
Yeah, I mean, it can always happen. But I'm sure for the Flyers, Carey Price is not going to be the focus. They're going to say, you know what, we have to shoot and put as many pucks on him as possible, get him tired, get him moving as much as we can to make it difficult on him. At the end of the day, he might steal a game or two for them, but he cannot become the excuse. The more pucks you throw at him, at some point, you play the odds, right? It's going to work in your favor. The Flyers have the better team overall. Like I said, more depth. Their third and fourth line is deeper than Montreal. I think their second and third pairing on defense, they're really tough to match up with. So that's where they have to take advantage of that depth.
Danny, the top line in the round robin games of Couturier, Giroux, and Jake Voracek for two of those games went pointless. They're veteran players north of 30. Maybe that it's harder for veteran players to get up for those round robin games than the young guys just go out and play. They got to be guys that contribute, and the power play also went 0-for. What do those guys need to do to get going? Because they got to be a big part of this as well.
Yeah, and you know what? The fact, I go back to the odds, right? I always believe that if I had a game or two that I didn't score, every time my odds went up, that next game I would score. That's the kind of the way I see it with that top line, Giroux, Kucherov, and Voracek. These guys are too good to be silenced for long. So I think it's looking good for the Flyers. I think these guys will step up. And like you mentioned, it's not easy sometimes to get up for regular season games. These guys have seen a lot. They've played a lot of playoff games. They have a lot of experience that way. So I actually think it looks good for the Flyers that these guys have not started producing yet.
Danny, Alain Vigneault, and you've gotten to know him as well and seen the work that he's not only done at other places prior to getting to Philadelphia, but the work that he's done with this Flyers team. What's impressed you most about Alain Vigneault and that coaching staff that's done a tremendous job?
I mean, I've been so impressed with this coaching staff, starting with Alain Vigneault. He's seen a lot. He's been through a lot. It's the swagger that he brings. And, you know, we talk about a lot of players playing with more swagger. I think it starts with him. He's confident. There's no gray areas with him. When he talks to the players, and I've seen him speak up, I've seen him put his game plan into place and the system that he wants the players to play, there's no gray area. There's nobody that's in between. You know exactly what you have to do. You know exactly what your role is on the team. That's what's impressed me. And the players are all responding to him. And I think it's a lot easier when you have the experience. If you've been to a few Stanley Cup finals and when you're one of the highest winningest coach in the NHL, it's a lot easier to do that than a rookie coach. But those are the traits that have really impressed me with Alain Vigneault.
Danny, he's managed to do something that's very difficult, and that's be able to show young players and tell older players, be a guy that can be the really strict kind of hard-ass guy, but also be the guy that can be a player's coach in a lot of ways. Is that all coming from his ability to communicate?
Definitely his ability to communicate. Also the fact that, you know, you look at where he's coached, and we all know that, you know, Philly is not an easy market to coach in. You know, fans are passionate and they're demanding. But Alain Vigneault has been in Montreal. He's been in, with the Vancouver Canucks, and he's been with the Rangers before in New York. Three, just as tough markets. So for him to being able to handle this market, I think helped him out a lot. And you're right. Like I've been impressed how he's been able to get the veterans and the rookies all on board and buy into what he's selling. And that's why it's been working this season.
Danny, last thing for you. Come playoff time, you elevated your game to not a higher level, but an elite level. And that's why with the Flyers in those games, well over a point per game. What is it that allowed you to do that? What was it in your makeup that when the lights were the brightest, the games meant the most, that you were able to bring your game to the next level and execute and have the success that you had?
I mean, I don't have it's not an exact science. I don't have a great answer. I mean, I love this time of the year, I believe. Also, I was fortunate to get into some playoff games early on in my career that gave me the experience to better prepare for those games. But I always believe that I was meant to be the difference maker. I went into every game thinking that this was my time. I believed I was going to make the difference, and that's why I was playing hockey. So I don't know how else to explain it. It worked for me. And like I said, it was the best time of the year.
Well, do me a favor. Figure out how to explain it and meet with some guys.
I wish I had a clear recipe.
Go to Hotel X and break it down. Danny, I know you'll be watching tonight. I know you'll be along for the ride, and we appreciate you doing this. And it could be a lot of fun, man. It all starts tonight, and the journey is going to get underway, and it's going to be a lot of fun here in Philly.
Oh, it's the best time of the year, and we get to watch playoff hockey in August. I'm ecstatic about that.
So absolutely.
I'm enjoying it.
All right. Thanks, man. I'll talk to you soon.
See you, Jason.
There he is, Danny Briere on the Comcast Business Hotline. We all love guys in sports, the players in sports, that when they get on that big time stage and they elevate their game, it's what makes guys legends, right? There's been so many good players for years and years and years in sports that they got to the big stage, or they were okay, or they weren't great. But then there's other guys that just went to a whole nother level. And you go, that's the kind of guys I need on my team. Because when we're in position to do something like that, we're going to do something great, because that person's going to lead the way. And Danny, I mean, the run he had in 2010 in those playoffs, Andrew, how about 23 games, 12 goals, 18 assists, 30 points, and a plus nine?
Yeah, that's absurd.
I mean, his line, and they just put that line together with Billy Leno and Scott Hartnell, and it just worked. It clicked, right? And you got to wonder, is that Kevin Hayes, Scott Laughton, Travis Konecny line for these playoffs? Where they just kind of put that together when they came back, put Laughton on that wing? Are they going to put Laughton at center? Are they going to put him at wing? What are they going to do? And boom, that line, 13 points in the three games. Scott Laughton, 5 points. You know, is that the line that could lead the way, like Danny Briere's line back then?
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice, right? You get yours from your front line, like you talked about since the beginning of the show, that they need to step up a little more, that first line.
Yeah.
So you get yours from your first line where they're always kind of productive, and then you can get that firepower on that second line. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and Lawton's a guy, you know, that kind of went through it and got sent back down for a season to kind of refine his game to figure out what he was going to be at the NHL level after being a number one pick, you know, first round pick out of Oshawa where he scored a lot. And now he's got this offensive game going, and it's tremendous. And you know, he's one of the reasons why this team is so likable. People in the city love Hayes as well. And the Flyers went from a team really quickly in about 18 months that people weren't sure if they liked or how they felt about to becoming incredibly likable. Look, when you're good and you win, it's easy to like a team. But they're also like a group now, a culmination of a season and a group of guys that you really like. Not only the way they play, because they're really aggressive on the forecheck and it's an exciting brand of hockey, but the personality of the team is something you like. The injection of the youth that's come to this team with Guy and Konechny, who won't stop yapping.
Yeah, of course.
He said he was going to tone it down in the playoffs. He's incapable. And once he gets into a 7-game series, he's going to drive everybody crazy on the opposition.
Yeah, just wait till games 2 and 3 and 4.
Oh, especially when there's no fans there and you can hear everything he says. You can't drown it out. So, I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to be an absolute pest. But this group, like, you look at the really likable teams, the 17 Eagles were incredibly likable with all the guys they had when Jay Ajayi came in and just all the different pieces. Alshon at that time was beloved and liked a lot. And you looked at all those, and they were so likable. This team is right there on that super high likable meter, if there is such a thing. I'm making things up now, that it makes you pull for him even more.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a guy that you don't like, right? Like, you can't go, oh, man, I don't like that guy's personality. Like, they're all good dudes,
yeah.
From what I know, right? Like,
I mean, even, like, you have Raffle, who's got a goofy guy.
Yeah.
But he plays that role on the team. It's very important and kills penalties. And I know he's hurt right now. You know, Voracek's a guy that I think that people don't understand completely what Jake Voracek is on and off the ice. He's a great guy. Well, sick goal there, by the way.
Yeah, right.
2-2 right now.
He needed that.
Canes and Bruins. So they are a likable group. And somebody had tweeted me earlier and said, if they were to win the cup, who would Giroux hand the cup to? It's an interesting question.
Give it to the kid.
I don't know. Like, a lot of times you give it to a veteran that's been around forever that is chasing the cup, that deserves it. There's not an obvious answer to the question of who you hand it to. He probably hands it to Jake, I would think. Those two have played together for so long.
Screw history. Give it to the kid.
Go right to Carter Hart?
It's his first time to Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. Not many rookies win the
Cup. Good job. Here you go.
Yeah, Barrasso, I think, won a cup as a rookie. So did Patrick Waugh. Hexie got to the final as a rook. Won the Conn Smythe and the 87 loss. Interesting. 610-632-0975. Let's get the conversation going. Let's get pumped up. If you need to vent about the Phillies, the bullpen, Reese Hoskins, Gene Segura, by all means, we can do that as well. But let's get pumped up for this Flyers game tonight. This is the beginning of the journey. You're at the top. You're at the first hill, the steep first hill of a roller coaster. And it's about to click and let you loose. And what's to come is anyone's guess. But a lot of people are feeling really confident. How do you feel about the game tonight? How do you feel about this series against the Montreal Canadiens and Carey Price? 610-632-0975. Needless to say, I'm pretty excited. We're back after this on the Midday Show, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Andrew Salchunas here. UFC 252 is coming up on August 15th, and there's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Jason was just talking about fired up for the orange and black today. Obviously, I'm going to be betting on that game, but I'm excited for this weekend as well because FanDuel Sportsbook has a special UFC 252 offer for new users. So you sign up with my code FANATIC, and listen to this. You'll get exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic to win their title fight fight at UFC 252. So you can bet either fighter that you think will win and then just bet $5 for a chance to win $125. You heard that right, FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sports betting site for a reason. I'm hoping Carolina can pull this game off and then I can flip that money right over to the orange and black and just keep on riding the hockey wave the rest of the day. They've got a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet that you're looking for, and then you lock it in. And once you win, FanDuel Sportsbook gets your cash back in as little as 24 hours. Won a big bet the other day, cash it out, boom, it was there before I knew it. Type in FanDuel.com/fanatic to claim your exclusive 25-1 odds on Cormier versus Miocic at UFC 252 to win their title fight. That's FanDuel.com/fanatic. Must be 21 or older, present New Jersey or PA, New Users only. Max bonus is $125, minimum $10 deposit required. Restrictions apply. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is game day. It is playoff game day. Flyers, Canadians. Andrew, can you pull up on YouTube? Type in Mike Richards, The Shift. I want to play that. So that was game five in Philadelphia. We'll recap that in a moment. What we've talked about so far on the show? Well, we've talked about the Flyers and the fact that they're going to start the playoff journey tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. Flyers, the number one seed. The Canadiens get into the round of 16 by upsetting the number five seed, Pittsburgh Penguins in four games. It's Carter Hart versus, it's the goaltender versus his idol, Hart Price, in round number one. And the Canadiens looking to keep the journey going. The Flyers going to begin their first round of these playoffs after a 3-0 round robin. They outscored the Tampa Bay Lightning, Boston Bruins, and Washington Capitals 11-3 in the round robin. That is the number one Tampa goal scoring team in the NHL. The number four Washington Capital goal scoring team in the NHL. And the number eight actually tied with the Flyers for 7th and 8th, Boston, 11-3. And it wasn't the manner or the number of saves for Carter Hart. It was the manner in which he looked in doing it. Cool as a cucumber. Totally under control in his first postseason experience. And he's going to need to be a big part of it, as are young players like Ivan Provorov and Travis Konecny and others, for them to have a good long journey. And the veterans going to have to be a big part of it as well, with Claude Giroux, Jake Voracek, Kevin Hayes, Sean Couturier. The depth could be the difference. And having that veteran presence on the D with guys like Braun and Niskanen. Niskanen won a cup in 2018 with the Caps. Talked to him a while back. He said, we were having those conversations about what it takes to be a cup champion in late February with players, lending his experience to those young players. We've also touched on the Phillies and the bullpen that is just abysmal, and the frustration of the Phillies, and Gene Segura calling off Rhys Hoskins last night, and another ugly loss for the Fightins, scoring 9 runs and losing to the Baltimore Orioles. So we've talked about it all today, and we're going to get you hyped up for this game tonight between the Flyers and Canadiens. Want to get your predictions on the game tonight, the series, what's in front of us for the Flyers? They're the second best odds, according to Vegas, to win the Cup behind one team. When I saw it the other day, the Colorado Avalanche were the number one team. Vegas, I think, might be up there now. So that's what we've talked about, Andrew.
Yeah, and by the way, that show recap that you just did so wonderfully is brought to you by Dietz and Watson. If you want the absolute best Real Philly hoagie, you got to visit a Real Philly Deli. Find one near you at realphillydeli.com.
All right, we'll get to the phones in a second, but I got a couple of responses. I asked Giroux if they won the cup, who we should hand it to. And Joe Heston, and Philly John both said, give the cup to Oscar. You hand it off to Oscar Lindblom. Even if he's not playing, You go in, all the players that are along for the ride will go in the room and get their gear on to celebrate with the cup. You hand it to Oscar Lindblom. And Philly John goes, gee, hands it to Oscar, and we all cry together. That would be unbelievable. And you two, even though you spelled Oscar wrong, both of you, it's a K, not a C, that is the, that's who you hand the cup to. Absolutely. That would be incredible. 610-632-0975. We'll play the shift for you coming up. There's a shift part two as well, which is a different one from 2012. But we'll play the original Mike Richards, the shift against Montreal, game five in 2010, in a game where the Flyers clinched the Eastern Conference. Let's go to the phones and go to Rob in South Jersey on the Fanatic. Robbie.
Hey, Jason, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I think that the shift part two, that might be Mr. Giroux in 2012, that's a guess.
Yes, it is. When he leveled Crosby, then a stoppage of play, and then on the same shift went down and just actually went bar down on Marc-Andre Fleury.
I can't believe that was 8 years ago, Jason. But hey, listen, I want to say, it is an understatement to say that I'm fired up, man. I'm so fired up that, you know, with the no fans, I went out and I got myself a goal horn from NHL.com. I got the Alexa blast from the goal song in my basement. Dude, I am so pumped for tonight. And
dude, where'd you get the goal horn? You have the Flyers goal horn?
Yeah, it comes with all 31 teams. You just got to, like, there's a lever on the back. You got to set it to a certain number, and it has all 31 teams.
No kidding.
There you go.
And does it go off automatically when they score?
There's a button. It's like a small, like, circular remote control. You just have it in your pocket or something, and you just hit the button, and it goes off.
Oh, man. Keep your finger on the trigger, brother.
Yeah. I tweeted it to you in South Chutes a couple, about a half hour ago.
All right. I'll check it out.
Definitely. But, yeah, man, Jason, not only is tonight the start of the playoffs, but I tweeted you, man. We've had some good conversation when the Flyers were struggling. This is finally the beginning of a team that this city and this Flyer fan base has been waiting for, man. It's been 8 years since they won a playoff series. And I'm just like, that hockey, you know, contending hockey's back in the city, and it's here for the long run.
Yeah, that's the thing that I find really exciting too, Rob, is that this year, and we're in the moment of this year, and it's about, that journey's about ready to start tonight. We hope it's a long journey that leads us to October, right? But this is also a team that is built for not just this year. This isn't where they went out on a trade deadline and grabbed a couple guys to make a push. No, this is a team that's got a young core and a goalie that's 21 years old. That if he's not elite right now, he's darn close to it. So they're a team that's going to be in this mix for many, many years.
Of course. And obviously after next season, when Hart is out of his entry-level contract, you have to pay him. But, you know, I just want also, I'm sure many Flyer fans agree with this, you know, Ron Hextall got the short end of the stick, and I think he, you know, it was his time, but he has a lot to do with this team.
Yep.
They are built, and a lot of them were his draft picks. But yeah, and like, you know, you got Cam York, you got Morgan Frost. They're gonna have a draft pick this year, and I think they're gonna make some moves. They have a lot of guys that they can possibly trade for and draft picks they can finally trade, you know, for other players. So it's really, really exciting, and I'm gonna be going crazy 8 o'clock. I hope there's no overtime in the game before there's, man.
I know. Could you imagine? Thanks, Robbie. You get all excited for the game at 8 o'clock tonight. And, like, I did feel for the Canes fans and the Boston fans. They're waiting for their game to start, but because the Lightning-Blue Jacket game went 6.5 hours, at first it looked like it was just delayed. They were pushing, because they need 90 minutes from when the previous game ends to be able to start the next one. That's to get everybody out of the building, sanitize the benches, do all that stuff, and turn it around, get the ice cut, flood it good, cut it a couple of times to resurface it so it's in good playable condition. And imagine that. And then boom, you got to wait till the next day. I mean, you got all of your appetizers and accoutrement all set up for an 8 o'clock primetime game. And then you get pushed to 11 a.m. the next day.
Now I love watching 11 a.m. hockey right now at work, but
but you're not an accountant.
Could you imagine? Exactly. Like you're going to work. You're like,
you're not a construction worker. Like they can't watch it.
If you're a diehard Canes fan or Bruins fan, you took off today, right?
I bet a lot of people did, as well they should have. Let's go to Alex on the cell on the Fanatic. Hey, Al.
Good afternoon, Jason. Good talking to you.
It's great to talk. It's great to be here on this day because I'm extremely excited about what's to come. I love playoff hockey, Al. The first round of the playoffs is Christmas for me every year. It had to come in August this year, but hey, I'll take it. I don't care.
Yeah, you got me on the bandwagon again, because I remember one time we talked. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. Saltunas. How are you?
Great. How are you?
All right. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. I was telling you one time we were talking, and I was telling you, I said, in my neighborhood, not too many African-American kids play hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this one young gentleman, you know, he was the only child. He got just about anything he wanted. He got the old style, you know, hockey goalie with the orange ball, you know, and we playing hockey in the streets, and, you know, we were having a ball. And, like, how I look at hockey is like football on skate.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I'm
it's
That's
not far
I
off.
Look at hockey. I was like, because you got me back into it, right? And, like, I'm looking at the play and, like, how they just, oh, man. I'm like, and now I'm, like, fired up. So now I'm looking for me a jersey now.
Oh, you got to get
a I'll probably get me an old school jersey, more than likely, because me and my best friend, may he rest in peace, you know, we were big Pelly Lindbergh fans.
Mm, me too.
You know, we were real big fans of him. And, like, I'll probably get me a Pelly Lindbergh jersey, you know, because, like, I represent Philly wherever I go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and a 31 Pelly is a great jersey, absolutely. And that was the first time in my life at the time when Pelly died in 1985, I was like 12 years old, I guess, or 13.
Is that long?
It's been that long, yeah. And when he passed away, you know, I'm at a young age, pretty young age, and that was the first time I experienced, like, loss of someone that I really, like, you know, you look up to. And right. I remember just crying like a baby. I still have the newspaper articles that of when he was, you know, pronounced brain dead and the whole thing, man.
Packed away
in a cedar box in my house. But if you're going with a current player, you need a new jersey for the playoff run, who are you going with?
More than likely, I don't know. For some reason, I'm kind of hooked like Tunis. I'm kind of hooked on TK.
That's a good one. Yes, go with the number 11.
I'm kind of hooked on TK.
Yeah, and that one's got a good shelf life. He's going to be around a while.
Yeah, you know, it's like, and I was just talking to somebody in the laundromat, and he's like, I don't know, I can't get my hockey. But, like, I did some research, Jason, and hockey was developed by escaped slaves in Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how hockey came into play.
Yeah.
Now, I was shocked. I was shocked because I'm a big proponent of history. And when I found that out, I was no more good. I said, man. And they played a form of hockey in Africa long before it came here to America.
Wow. I did not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Al, do me a favor, man. Strap in. Enjoy the run, man. Enjoy the game tonight. All right?
I'm fired up, brother.
I love it. Thanks, man. I appreciate the call. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. Got some open lines. I said this earlier, Andrew. I want everybody, whether you've ever been into hockey and fell out of love with it, whether you just come when the team's good and when they're going through a rebuild, it doesn't really interest you. I understand. You know, not every sport is a sport that everybody follows hardcore all the time when they're good, bad, or indifferent. And they only jump on board when the team can do something special. That's fine, because sometimes you can't commit. Some people can't commit to 4, 5, 6, 8 sports that they love because life gets in the way. I get it.
Yeah, and that's every sport. I mean, when the Phillies had, you know, that run of sellouts,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't diehard baseball fans there every night.
No.
Filling up 45,000+ every single night.
It's the place to be.
Football is different, right? Like, that's going to fill up every single week, and it's going to be mostly diehard football fans. But when the Phillies were in it, look, diehard baseball fans are not filling up Citizens Bank Park. Obviously not this year because of COVID. But, you know, last year when they were averaging, 25,000 to 30,000 fans a game, where's the extra 15,000? It's the guys that get on board when the teams are really good. It's the same thing for the Flyers, even though they sell out on a consistent basis, but, you know, TV ratings go up higher for all these teams.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like, there are some Flyer fans that are very territorial. And I don't want any Flyer fans to be territorial. I think we need to understand that, you know, not everybody is a huge hockey fan. And this maybe is what exposes them when the team is really good and can go on a run. And I understand that. And it's a sport that's got a lot of nuance to it and is a niche sport for a lot of people. But this is an opportunity. Jump on. Enjoy this with fellow sports fans. I want everyone to come to the party. Everyone. Nobody is excluded. I don't care what you have thought of the game, said about the game, how you viewed the game, how much you ridiculed me for loving the game. I welcome everybody to this party. So jump on. Let's have fun. Our world is so twisted right now. Everybody deserves a little escape and enjoyment. And this team can provide it. Dave and Concha Hawkins on the Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Good, man.
Good. It's always good to be talking Flyers playoff hockey.
It's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Just had a question for you. I've been watching a lot of different games over the last 10 days. Don't know if you're going to know this, but do you know where they're pumping in the noise from, like, when a team scores or when they get a penalty, you know, the cheering? Is that coming from each individual team?
No. That comes from
generic?
It's a national feed. It's a pool feed. And those sound effects that you hear are actually from EA Sports from the game. not from the actual game, but from their library of sound effects that they're pumping through.
Okay, I didn't know if they're
and it's not being played in the building. It's only being played through your television. They don't hear them in the building.
No kidding.
Okay. They hear the goal horn and stuff like that, but they don't hear the crowd noise.
I wasn't sure of that, but I thought from some reactions, some video I've seen, I thought they did hear it, but I guess not.
That's not my understanding.
The second question, just curious. Every once in a while when they show the stands, obviously it's virtual, that they show people sitting in front of monitors, I guess at home, obviously, and watching the game and cheering and stuff. You know how they're doing that?
Yeah, you can go on PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. I think you can get all the info there. They're also doing a second screen with other fans, and they're doing stuff. All that info is on there. And if you go back and listen to the Flyers Daily episode from Monday, Mike Shane, who's the president of business operations and chief business officer, he appeared on that episode. You can get all the details on that as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll check that out. I've seen it before. I'm a season ticket holder, so I've heard that name before.
Yep. And what do you think is going to happen in the game tonight, and what do you think is going to happen in this series?
I honestly, I'm trying not to be in crazy homer and all, but I honestly think they sweep them.
Okay.
I just think they're going to overwhelm them, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, Price could steal the game, but I'm hoping that they just dominate them and, you know, put them away quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's in five. I don't think you sweep them because of Price, and I think they are a team that looks a lot different than the one that finished the regular season at 31-31-9, which is basically 31 losses or 31 wins and 40 losses with the overtime losses. They're a different team than that right now. Their young guys really played well in that best of five play-in round, and Price was good. Carter Hart was really good, though. When you look at the goalie matchup, I think Price had a .947 save percentage. Now, just two games for Carter, but a .966 save percentage.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
One goals against, one flat goals against average. Not bad.
Now, I want to ask you something because I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. So we had Bouchon to begin the week, and he said, I just want to pump the brakes a little bit because the intensity in the round robin, we talked about this earlier,
but he's there.
The intensity in the round robin tournament is not the same as the intensity in the play-in series, the best of five, because you can't get knocked out of the playoffs in the round robin tournament. The Flyers have been a team this year that have started off slow in games, right? Like the first period has been probably their worst period out of the three. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but they start off slow. Are you concerned at all today that they normally start off slow? And they're also coming out of a, as Boucher says, a less intense sort of playoff format against a team that played very hard to beat the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, I equate it to this. It's like jogging and racing a guy that's already sprinting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You join the race 100 meters in for a 400-meter race, and you're just jogging, but he's already sprinting, so you have to catch him. That's what it's like. They've already been playing for their life. They're playing at that level, that heightened level of we're playing for our playoff existence. And yeah, they've started slow. That's where Carter comes in because that's where he keeps them off the board.
Saw that against Boston, yeah.
Yeah, and eventually the team gets its feet under, but they have to remedy that issue of starting games slow because maybe it doesn't bite you against the Montreal Canadiens, but it could bite you if you got to a conference final and you're playing against Tampa Bay or somebody like that. Now, that happened the other day on Sunday, too. But the other thing, too, and this happened with Montreal in game one against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh was all over them the first 10 minutes of the game. I mean, they had 20 shots in the first period, and Price was unbelievable and was putting on a performance for the ages, which is why they eventually went on to win that game in overtime. So, yeah, it is a concern right now, but tonight could go a long way to alleviating that concern if they're able to come out hard, ready to play, skating, all of those things. All right, coming up, we're going to get to the let me take a call, and then we'll come back. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Mike Richards shift, all right? We need a break? Okay, so we'll break then. We'll come back with Frank in Westchester, and your calls at 610-632-0975. That is the number, and we're going to play the audio of the shift part one. Now, the Flyers back in 2010 were the 7 seed, and they were facing the 8-seeded Montreal Canadiens for the opportunity to go to the Stanley Cup. They won game 1 and 2 at home. They lost game 3 in Montreal. They won game 4, and then they came back and punched their ticket in game 5 against Montreal. Carey Price was not the goalie, though. He was on the team, but he was the backup because Jaro Halak was playing for him and was sensational in those playoffs. 610-632-0975. It is the midday show. Anthony off today. It's Jason Martinez. It is Flyers playoff day, and we're getting you pumped up for the game tonight at 8 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.